Last, maybe a couple of weeks ago, we focused our Dharma talk on Self-Awareness Day. And as I was looking through these holidays, which, God, there's several on every day of the year, I came upon one that is celebrated or on October 1st, and it's called Less Than Perfect Day. And I thought it fit in very well with what we're doing here in reflective meditation.
And it fits in well to celebrate it late and not very perfectly on October 8th rather than October 1st.
Right, we didn't get that perfect. No. And so this is the description of this holiday. It's a day, well, it was a day dedicated to celebrating the benefits of not being perfect. It encourages people to embrace their flaws, learn from their mistakes, and embrace their unique qualities. It promotes self-acceptance and encourages individuals to see beauty in imperfection.
Sounds familiar. It sounds a little bit like Dharma to me when you read it out. And also the direction of our Dharma practice of reflective meditation, of leaning in the direction to accept the conditions that we live in, to understand them more, and really to be quite gentle with ourselves rather than so striving.
And I just caught a striving language in the description of it,
Yeah.
to embrace our flaws. That's a high ideal,
Yeah.
rather than to be able to be, some kind of not so reactiveness with our flaws, but really to embrace them. I don't know. I don't know about
Well,
that.
at some point, let's say, at some point we might be able to do that, but that's not usually our first reaction.
And that is really quite a whatever stretch to see beauty in imperfection, but there is beauty there.
And you know, Nellie, I had a thought about that because there is the type of pottery where, where it breaks and then you fill it in and it becomes makes the, makes the pot more beautiful. You know this as a potter, right? You
Well, it's interesting that you should bring it up, Linda, because I'm in the middle of trying to buy some of that stuff because I have enough broken pots. And I thought, well, that would be interesting rather than gluing them together, which is what I've done. I could put this gold stuff if it's not too expensive.
And I mean, but the theory, let's say that direction theory, and it becomes a way we can look at this in our lives. I was working with my dad, who's been painting a lot lately, and he did a glaze, and there were big pockets where he was unsatisfied with. And I said, well, let's hang it on the wall and look at it and see, does it make it better? Does it make it more interesting? Is it worth keeping some of those flaws? And we hung it up, and no, it wasn't. He wants to redo it. But it just the idea of doing that rather than throwing something out when a mistake was made.
Right, and I think that theory, no, practice of
Practice.
putting gold to mend broken pottery comes from Japan and probably comes as a Buddhist influence out of Japan. So, there's beauty in the brokenness, yeah.
Right.
And we can highlight it rather than glue it together like I do and try to hide it.
Well, we were going to talk about as one part of this, less than perfect day, is looking at how the striving for perfection, what does that lead to? And we do talk about striving in the Buddhist tradition, and it comes up in practice and the way we have effort within our meditation, and the way we live our lives. So just that's where we went to with the direction of the talk.
And it's in a very American way of being, this striving for perfection. I think it's been deeply conditioned in our culture.
Well, because it was considered, akin to craving or the second noble truth or task, It was likely part of that human experience during that time too, and part of the culture to really start to name that when striving kicks in, that's when dukkha, suffering, pain, anguish is going to be exacerbated.
Right. So you were talking when we spoke this earlier today about how striving hooks up with other things. Do you want to speak to that a bit?
Yeah, in my mind, I was looking at the direction of an aspirational, let's say, quality, or challenging myself, or trying to improve in a healthy way, that there's a sense of striving that can come in to the way I do things. Like I might, want to, learn a language and, use the effort to do that. But there's a striving that comes in that then berates myself for not doing it right, or has high expectations beyond my capabilities, and the desire that I should be able to do something that I really am not able to do. And what do I do with myself in that circumstance? Do I push myself more? Do I become more vigorous in my efforts? Or do I, let things drop a little bit?
And in a way, what you're talking about is skillful effort on the Eightfold Path. Like, what is balanced effort? What is skillful effort? When is it too much? When is a lot required? And in that, under those conditions, it's not too much. I think about giving birth. A lot of effort and striving is demanded.
Right,
And
you want to
as
come.
far as I've observed, in dying, the same is true.
I remember that I was saying that to my mom when she was dying, is that this is really hard work, isn't it? She couldn't speak, so I didn't know if I got agreement, but that's what it looked like to me, was that it was not an easy process that you just gently go out with the breeze.
Right. Well, so what we're saying is you enter the world striving and you leave the world striving. That's actually kind of interesting, isn't it?
And that is, that has been talked about as the chain of dependent arising, is that suffering starts with birth, ends with death, and continues
Yep,
that
and
cycle.
yep. So it does, yes. And it does feel almost required to mention the war in Israel and Gaza right now. God, that there has to be a lot of struggle and striving in that.
Right. And I would say that's a compounded war in the midst of other wars, and the amount of wars that we've, inherited and been living with. And in Buddhism, historically, the practice has been anti-war, anti-violence, to go against creating more wars. And yet here we are in the midst of another one.
Right, and there it is in Myanmar where the Buddhists are fighting wars. So it's such a complicated war is so complicated that we won't try to go too far into it. But just to note that there really are a lot of situations in our lives collectively that really demand a kind of striving, though not a perfection. Nobody would ever say there's perfection in war.
No, but the kind of striving to be right, or to be the best, that this kind of comes up, and that's one of the things behind wars. Like there's a kind of striving to be, I wouldn't say perfection, but to be right, or to have something, well, maybe a perfect world,
So let's see, where should so we looked up, of course, our way of doing things is to look things up in the dictionary, and we did look up the word striving, and it is one of the definitions is the struggle or to struggle or to fight vigorously.
And we were wondering, we can kind of feel that in ourselves, when we take something up, a cause or an activity, that vigorous fight or struggle comes into our bodies often, that we can feel a kind of anxiety or a pressure, or for me, a pain. You know, I often get like pain in my body when I'm trying to push myself to do something beyond my limits, and that is individual for each of us. There's not a line we can draw and say, you're striving now. We are all striving. It's something that we have to look at and often not reflect upon in our practice.
And in reflective meditation, in some ways, when we're saying, just get comfortable, just allow what happens to occur, just be curious and gentle with it. We are giving instructions that go the opposite direction from striving.
Against the grain, against the stream. Yeah.
Against the striving stream, for sure.
Yes. Okay. I think that might be our ending of the Dharma talk this morning.